He put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher, the Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am now, that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
Okay. All right, so why was the betrayer not clean even though Jesus washed his feet? That's right. He didn't believe in Jesus, right?
I said it's because the devil tempted him.
He didn't understand, right? What did you say?
Because the devil tempted him.
That is true. The devil did tempt him. We don't necessarily see it said that way in this text, but that is certainly true. But let's also be clear. Even though Judas was the one who's considered unclean because he's the one who betrayed Jesus, even though Satan tempted him, the temptation isn't what makes him unclean.
It's the action.
It's the going with the temptation and willingly going with it and willingly accepting what the devil says. Because if you think, were you here too? Let's see, was that last week? Last week?
No,
Sunday?
We
had snow last week.
But on Sunday?
Oh.
No, me and Austin were having a sleepover with
Do you remember the Sunday text? Were you here? Yeah, you were here. Yeah.
Wait. The Sunday text was... I have it on my paper.
I do too.
But I don't...
I'll give you a hint. It's about Jesus.
All right,
so it's about Jesus. And he's wandering
through the wilderness, and the devil tempts him with all the stuff, like all the kingdoms.
Yes.
And turning stones.
Stones into bread. Yeah.
And
so,
jumping and angels.
So Jesus himself is tempted. Okay. But Jesus is still clean.
So
why was the betrayer not clean even though Jesus washed his feet? He remained unclean because he rejected Jesus. So you can put that. He rejected Jesus.
Yours works. Can I just put he did not believe in Jesus?
Yeah, you can say he didn't believe in Jesus and didn't repent. Right? You can put that too, Allison.
And we cannot
be saved apart from the work of Jesus and his death and word of forgiveness received by faith. Which he didn't have faith.
I want to make sure I did them all.
We got two more.
And then we have the catechism.
Then we have the catechism question.
Have you read the Bible front and back?
Not straight through, but in bits here and bits there.
Matthew, Mark, and Genesis.
I'm working on
those. Those are good ones.
Because Mom said that all the other ones are
I'm working on reading the confirmation.
All right, yeah, there you go. That's confirmation is the basis. If you want to, here's a trick. Here's a trick. If you want to learn what the teachings of this are,
learn what the teaching of this is.
Learn the catechism questions, and you got it. That's why we learn it by heart.
You know what he's talking. You know what Jesus is talking about.
Let's talk about these after class. We really need to get through these questions. Okay. So, next question. What is the new commandment that Jesus gives us? Let's see if you got it, Olivia.
Love one another as I have loved you.
Yep. Love one another just as I have loved you.
I didn't put just as I loved you. I just put love one another.
That works too. But Jesus does go on to say, just as I have loved you, love one another.
Yeah, but I know he loves
you. Yeah. All right, so next question, how are we to love? Gavin. Love as Jesus loved us. And how did Jesus love us?
To the ends of the earth.
Laying your life before each other.
Yes, laying your life before each other. There's no greater than love than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. John 15, verse 13.
I put one another.
I mean, that works too. Well, we're on how were we to love.
No,
you
have a card. I know, but I put one another.
I push him out of the way.
What's that?
Like if a car was about to back into Gavin, I'd push him out of the way.
There you go. You got it.
Well, would you car back in into me?
You think about it first, at least.
I just say, well, I can say, well, I can just car.
All right. So, what is it? So you put love as Jesus loved us.
Love as Jesus
loved us.
Laying your life before each other.
So, and how does Jesus show himself loving his disciples?
Love us.
He died on the cross.
Yeah, he's like...
Okay, but specifically here in this text...
He washed their feet.
Yes, he washed their feet. And what did he do to himself to do that? He humbled himself, right? So that's what we do in service towards our neighbor. We humble ourselves underneath them in order to serve them. Makes sense? Okay, clear as mud? All right.
Mud's not clear.
You got it. All right. Catechism question. What does this teach us about the third article, the Apostles' Creed? All right. Levia, what do you got?
We should love God as and put him first.
Okay. But what does that have to do with the third article, the Apostles' Creed? Okay. Well, who's the third article of the Creed about?
The Holy Spirit. Oh, I was thinking of the second one.
Yes.
But it's about... him loving the church because he's loving us and you know, we're...
Yes, you got it. So in the third article, we talk about the church, right? And the Holy Spirit giving his gifts to the church. So Jesus teaches us in this how this relates to the third article, that he needs to wash us, right? So when we think about washing, we think about baptism. When we think about baptism, we think of the work of the Holy Spirit, right? And what do we know about how God's kingdom comes? Who does
through
it?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit, right? And so that's kind of how this all works together, okay? All right. All right, so next.
Lesson 11.
Lesson 11, which I'm handing out to you right now.
What's it about? Like, Lent?
This is the last, or this is the third article.
Where
again.
Do I put this?
Pastor, right here. I didn't watch TV today.
That's probably a good thing for your brain.
Yeah, but you are among us the whole time.
Hey, Pastor.
All right.
You want to know my goal?
Yeah, let's discuss your goal real quick while we turn to...
I'm there.
Oh, yeah, just turn the page. Yeah, just turn the page. We are doing this together. Turn the page to John 15.
Can I tell you my goal?
Verse 26. What's your goal?
I don't know if it's going to happen, though. I want, like, to finish all my catechism questions.
Yeah?
By at least May, by the end of school.
Hey, that would be awesome. Then you could start receiving communion. Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty dope, huh?
Dope.
Yeah.
I never heard you say that before.
Sorry, I shouldn't say that around kids.
Have you, like, changed your language?
Don't
say
it.
All right. All right, let's bring this down. Lesson 11, John chapter 15, verses 26. And then can someone read till the end of 16, verse 4? Have you read? Have you read, Tatum? All right, go ahead, Tatum.
Wait.
Verse 26,
15:26.
Oh. So on page 1678.
You got to turn.
Yeah. Kind of there at the top. Okay. Yeah.
Where do I go to?
Until the end of 16, verse 4.
Okay. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. They will put you out and find
Out of the synagogue.
Out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you.
Okay, and then...
That's kind of creepy.
Well, we'll go over it here in a second. Verse 5 through 15. Can someone read? I'll go ahead and read it. That way it's faster. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to the judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you.
This sounds confusing.
It is a little bit confusing, but we'll kind of dissect it together. Yeah. You don't have to, but if you're there, I would like you to try.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do, like, all this stuff, just what the sermon's about kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, who is Jesus speaking to concerning the Holy Spirit? Who's the...
The disciples.
The disciples.
Because the things about the world hates the disciples.
Yes. So, yeah, exactly. So, so this is addressed to the disciples. So that's kind of important. We'll see why here in a bit.
Don't we tell the topic of the text?
Here, actually, you know what? I have it right there for you up above, the Holy Ministry of the Holy Spirit. I gave you a gimme.
Wait, what time does this start?
Wait, so in one 7. Did we put that?
Yeah, you can just put that.
I thought we just started at like 6.
Nope. All right. Who sends the Holy Spirit?
Jesus.
Okay. So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, but there's more to that answer.
God.
The Father. Yes. We're on the second question. Who sends the Holy Spirit? What?
Why the second question?
Because we already did the first.
The disciples.
Okay. So, who sends the Holy Spirit? Sent by Jesus from the Father. Okay? So, this is where we start to see, like, the Trinity, you know? So, we have God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
And is this after Jesus' death? Like, Jesus just died. Isn't this...
This text?
Yeah, this text.
No, this is before Jesus dies.
Okay.
This is within the context of Maundy Thursday. If you remember Maundy Thursday.
I thought it was Maundy.
Yeah, Maundy Thursday.
I thought
Thursday.
It was Monday Thursday.
No. All right. So we have the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? And so this is where we start to see what are the relations of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right?
They're all the same person.
They are all the same. Well, they're all, yes, they're all the same. They're all the same God. But they are three different persons.
Yeah.
So, three, okay, this is going to mean nothing to you guys, but maybe it will one day. three persons, one
persons
essence.
Is not a word.
Huh?
People. Persons are, is not a word.
So well, in theological
talk, they're
basically talk, it is.
All connected. Oh. In
so,
like the brain.
So it's kind of like, so, you know, you, it's always hard to describe the Trinity in a way that's
what,
not
what's that word?
A, that's well, that's not a heresy.
One
so it's kind of like, you know how water can be gas,
yeah,
liquid and solid.
It got turned into a
but it's all this, but it's
no,
all water.
Plasma.
So imagine if it can be gas, water, and ice all
oh,
at the same
can.
Time.
It can.
It can?
Yeah. It's
oh.
Something we learned about it in science.
Well, that's
I
cool.
About
that
yet.
It instantly changes between the solid and gas state. So it's basically
so
going through all
that
the states
means
of
that
the same.
Right, but
shh.
Okay, let's settle it down. Okay. All right. So we have the Trinity. We have the relationship of the Trinity. We have the Father and the Son. And what's happening is that the Son is taking the Holy Spirit here and sending him forth, but it's coming also from
the Father.
Yeah.
How? Why?
Because they're the same. It's the same. What's that word?
Same
essence.
Essence.
Yeah.
You know, like they're
right.
All like.
So it's like the Father. Do you know what will is like? It's my will to do something.
Yeah.
The
desire to do something.
Thing.
Yeah.
So the Father wants the Son to send the Holy Spirit, and so the Son does. Okay? And so that's kind of how the sending aspect of the Holy Spirit works. So think about it in this way. If you want a visual, where is there one time in the Gospels where there are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit present?
Jesus' baptism.
You got it. Baptism, right? So we have Father up in the clouds. What's he saying?
He's saying that this is my Son, the Jesus.
You got it. So we have Jesus
which
now.
Which he's coming through the Holy Spirit, right?
Right. Well, no. The voice isn't coming through the Holy Spirit, but the text does say that the Holy Spirit descends, I can't draw very well.
That's fine.
But this is a bird.
That's a bird?
Yeah.
I
know.
See the Father.
So
it's like
the Holy. The Holy Spirit comes down and rests upon Jesus like a dove. Okay, so you see that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you see that the Father is sending the Spirit down to the Son. So now the Son has the Spirit. And then once Jesus dies and resurrects from the grave, and then we'll get...
So what's the answer?
Once we get into next week, we'll talk about Pentecost. Okay? But this is where Jesus now sends the Spirit. Okay? So what is the answer? Why... Or, who sends the Holy Spirit? Jesus and the Father. And God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus and God the Father. Okay. Do you have a question?
No.
Okay, well let's save it till after class. Is that okay? Or is it really applicable?
What does that mean?
Is it applied to the situation? All right, well, we'll save it till after class. All right, so why is the Holy Spirit given?
Because he's a spirit.
To tell the disciples about what's happening.
Okay, you're on the right track.
He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
If you look at verse 26, since can someone read verse 26 for me? Go ahead.
It's right here.
Who?
Whoever.
When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me.
All right, so why is the Holy Spirit given?
To testify about God.
No, to testify about me, who?
The Father.
No, to testify about me, who's speaking?
God.
God the Jesus, yes, thank you. So the Holy Spirit is given to testify about Jesus. Okay? So that's your answer. Write it down.
I'm Pastor Knagel.
What? Yes. Why is the Holy Spirit given to give testimony to Jesus? Okay. So we'll see this happening at Pentecost, which we'll look at next week. The disciples didn't understand what was happening to Jesus, right? So that's why what you're saying is on the right track there, Gavin. They didn't quite understand these things about Jesus. They didn't understand what was happening, especially when it pertains to his death and resurrection. But Christ...
It's too complex to comprehend.
Yeah, because they think that Jesus is a Messiah, a King Messiah who's not going to die, right? But he does die, and by submitting himself to death, by humbling himself to death, he gains life for all of us, right? So the Holy Spirit's given to kind of help bring understanding and preaching to Christ when he comes. So, makes sense? Clear as mud?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, why were the disciples sorrowful? Gavin.
Well, it says here, "Where are you going? Because I have said these things. You are filled with grief." So, he tells them to be filled with grief.
Well, I think he says, "You will be filled with grief." Like, you will be sorrowful. You will be upset. You will be in grief.
No, it says you are filled with grief. You are filled with grief.
That's wait. What verse are you on? Verse 6. You are filled with grief. Okay, yeah, you're filled with grief because what Jesus is saying is that he's going away.
Oh, so because Jesus is going away.
Yeah, so the disciples are sorrowful because Jesus is going away. Jesus would no longer be with them. Okay. So, did you write that down? Why disciples are sorrowful? Because Jesus is going away. So, where is he going away to?
Heaven. Or God.
Well, he's going to go fight the devil.
On the...
Third day he will come back.
On the cross.
Oh. Cross, you got it. Cross and grave, yeah. All right, so next question. Why is the helper given only because... Why is the helper given only because of Jesus going away? Like, why can't the helper be given when Jesus isn't going? Why? Where is Jesus going? Why then?
He didn't need help before.
The disciples had Jesus before. But now when they don't have Jesus... They don't know what to do.
They don't have Jesus explaining things to them. So Jesus sends the helper to give them understanding, right? So Jesus will be absent in a bodily presence, how we're used to. Because he will die and rise from the grave and 40 days later go up to heaven, ascend into heaven.
So the disciples won't have someone to explain have anyone to help them.
Right. Help them understand, right? Yes. So, and only through what Jesus does by, going away to the cross and going away to the grave and winning victory over sin, death, and the devil, are the disciples able to have the Holy Spirit given to them, right? So Jesus goes away to accomplish everything that's needed so that they can have the Helper, right?
Because they won't have Jesus' help, quote-unquote.
Say it again.
Because they won't have Jesus' help.
But instead of Jesus' help, whose help will they have?
The Helper.
Yeah, who is the... Holy Spirit, right. Question?
I'm going to answer the next question.
All right, next question. Does Jesus going away mean that he is not present with us today?
So his body isn't present with us, but he is present with us.
How?
Because he is
watching over us and protecting over us every second.
Certainly, certainly. So in kind of a spiritual way.
You got the Bible, his word.
You got the Bible, his word, prayer. He's present. Let me challenge you real quick. You said he's not here with a body. He's not here with a body, but he is bodily here.
Mm-hmm.
Through
by his body and blood.
You got it. In the Lord's Supper. Yeah. Right? So Jesus, in the last chapter of Matthew, you guys know this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the part that you guys don't know, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And the last part, which is the promise of all this, and behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So Jesus himself says, I am with you always. Jesus doesn't mean that in some kind of like quasi-spiritual sense, but in a real bodily presence kind of way. Whenever Jesus ascends into heaven, it's not like he no longer has a body, but he ascends bodily into heaven.
So it's no, because he still watches over us and we have to suffer.
Yeah, so
I said no, but he's still watching over
us. He's with us. You can say this. Here's a short way to say it. He's with us in word and sacrament.
I just put in many ways,
you know. But here's the thing. If I'm out on the golf course on Sunday morning playing golf, okay, is the Lord with me the same way that he's with me in church?
Yes. No.
Because you're not there receiving his gifts. You're not there to take his supper.
You're not there to take his supper, right? Jesus certainly says, or, you know, God is certainly everywhere. He's right.
What if it's a Monday and you're on the golf course?
Well, I guess the point is that Jesus gives gifts to his church, specific gifts, forgiveness of sins, specifically to his church, right? I guess that's the point. So, all right, to move on, we got a couple more questions. And we'll end. Why is the Holy Spirit called the Spirit of Truth?
Because
he testifies to who?
Jesus.
And Jesus is the way,
the light, and
the way, the light. The blank, and the life.
The way,
the word.
The truth. Oh,
the
truth and the life.
I knew that.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Okay, next question. Will the message of the Holy Spirit...
What was our answer?
What?
I didn't get that.
Jesus is the way,
He testifies to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
He testifies in life?
To Christ. Who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Who is the way...
All right. Will the message of the Holy Spirit... Is your sister okay in there?
She's probably strong.
All right. Will the message of the Holy Spirit be anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ?
What?
Will the message of the Holy Spirit be anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ? So will the Holy Spirit testify to anything else? Will the Holy Spirit speak about anything else other than Jesus Christ?
No.
No!
Because that's what he made, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. That's what the Holy Spirit was sent to do, to testify to Christ. And so, so the Spirit's work is this, okay? Spirit's work is this. Convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Of sin. Judgment? No.
Righteousness. Right. Right. E-O-U. S-N-E-S-S.
S-N-E-S-S. Righteousness.
and judgment.
What do we put?
So the Spirit's work is this, convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So whenever, you know what I mean? Whenever convicting sin, making light of our sins and our sinful nature, right? So that's what the Spirit's work is, but also to glorify or to point towards Jesus. And giving us his eternal righteousness.
How do you spell eternal?
E-T-E-R-N-A-L.
Gifts, because that's a gift.
Which question are we on?
Eternal righteousness.
The second to last one. Righteousness. So the way it's spelled up above. So the last question, how do we distinguish between the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Antichrist?
What is that?
Antichrist literally means against Christ.
Oh.
Well, the Spirit of Christ is for Christ, and Antichrist is evil.
Yeah, right. So any spirit that doesn't preach Christ and him crucified is Antichrist.
I'm not right.
Wait, so that's what we put?
So put, Christ crucified. Is the, Christ crucified. Comes from the Spirit of Christ.
Christ?
Yeah. Alright, last question. What does this teach us about the third article of the Apostles' Creed?
The Spirit is sent by Jesus to help us.
Spirit is sent by Jesus to help us. Yeah, to be our helper. And to testify to the truth and all this stuff that we went over. Okay, good job, guys. Thank you for...
The Spirit is sent by Jesus to help us.
To help us.
Thank you for trudging through all that. Here's lessons 12 and 13.
12 and 13.
Yeah, I hate to bombard you guys, but we have got a lot of crap around to cover.
Thank you.
Do we have
thank
to
you.
Do both of these? Yes, I would like you to do both of them. But I went easy on you because one of the questions it says, kind of think about it, but skip over it. We'll go over it in class. And the questions are less, are more if you did the reading.
Look at
then,
the passage.
Do I have to do
more?
Or
more you can find it in the passage.
Yeah, more you can find it in the passage. All right.
Do I have to do
schoolwork
then?
What's that?
No.
I have schoolwork though.
Oh, well, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right.
My teachers are going to.
All right, everybody, stop where you are.
You don't have to do it tonight.
Stop where you are. Fold your hands.
Let
us pray. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I picked my head up.